Okay.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, September 10th, and we are continuing to read in Article 1 in the Book of Revelations on page 137. We finished through verse 96 last week, but I'm going to go ahead and read that again so that it'll help us get a little more prepared for going forward. So it reads, verse 96. So Jesus Christ says to you, the chosen ones by him to redeem Zion, quote, the greatest need that exists among my people in these last days is to graft their branches for the last time on the original tree, unquote. And I think that understanding what this means, that these are the last days, and definitely this is the last time that branches will be grafted. We studied this a lot with John's article on the vineyard when and when we were in the sealed book, and we did the very last chapter, which is on the vineyard also. So it is a little scary to think about that, but it also is the fact that we need to grasp what is being taught to us and realize that we have things that we need to pay attention to. So verse 97 reads, therefore, when there is a consensus among my elect in Zion, it will be necessary again to organize the priesthood quorums and their offices so that my people can return to the original foundations of my church, so that my chosen ones can build the foundations of the apostles and prophets, from whom all gifts and designs follow to church members. Anything to say about that verse?
Mark has his hand raised.
Oh,
I
I
think it's
can't see.
interesting, like how it says to graft their branches in verse 96. Because usually it's, at least in the LDS church, it's like you go out to find the other branches and graft them into the church. But we first need to graft our own in.
Okay.
The LDS Church is kind of taking the position that they are the trunk. They're the, and yet I think this next verse points out how they aren't the trunk anymore. They've lost that status.
I like the part where it's saying return to the original foundations. So
Right.
there's been, so the Lord is aware that there's a lot of off the track going on, that people are lost, even though, we belong, well, when we were going to the LDS church, that we belong to this church that had all of the things they were supposed to have, but they didn't. And so now we're being, I don't like to say I'm a chosen one. I'm far from that, I'm sure. But rebuilding the foundation of what the Lord wants his church to be. And I think what it's saying is that without doing that, without returning to the original foundations and building the foundation that the Lord wants it to be, then the gifts that we are supposed to have are not going to be available to us. And we can therefore not be able to help fellow church members on the journey that they will make. And anyway, that's my thought. Anybody else?
Yeah, and I think this next verse bears that out.
Okay.
Can I
All
read
right,
this
who would
next
like?
verse?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Finally, I leave you my last words here. Before you take the resolute decision to become my followers and yet authorized representatives of my name among Latter-day Saints and around the world, as you well know, through the study and careful research of the standard works of your faith and testimony, the churches of today
coming from the Restoration, no longer practice the principles of my gospel, laws, ordinances, miracle cures, and restoration of lives in me, Jesus Christ, focusing exclusively on the preaching and postulation of its members to the ministry of aggregating and maintaining aggregates, those who are attracted to the fellowship of the saints in their stakes. This is the indication that they have abandoned a significant portion of their due work in the past few days because they have, in fact, lost the keys to this knowledge that the first elders had. These keys, which constituted the real strength of the priesthood and the basis of the restoration. It is inconceivable that I, Jesus Christ, have gone to such lengths to restore my gospel to the earth again at the expense of the blood of my prophet, Joseph Smith Jr., and finding today in my people resistance to seek or even limit their understanding of what they have in their hands, greater understanding of their sacred scriptures. After all, if nothing is trustworthy except the scriptures, then why don't they stick to them like an iron rod to lead them on this path they are on?
Yes.
That's a good question, isn't it?
I want to share with you something that I wrote. And then I sent it to my brother. As the title of it is, Must I Ignore Scriptures? 1 second, I'll share it. Yeah, there it is. So, and I think that's what that verse is just telling us. And I won't spend time on these scriptures, but D&C 130 talks about how the church was collectively accepted by Christ, but then just a short time later, they're under condemnation. Ezra Taft Benson agreed with that even many years later, 150 years later, and even as late as 2010, Dallin H. Oaks talked about the church is still under condemnation. And D&C 124 talked about how the fullness of the priesthood had been taken away, it was time to restore it. And D&C 124 talked about the church had been rejected and you're dead. And so then talk about who the Gentiles actually are. It's us. We're the Gentiles. And in 3rd Nephi, it talks about the day when the Gentiles would sin against my gospel, reject the fullness. And then in Mormon, it talks about how the pollution and even the Holy Church of God would be polluted. So we got all these things. And to point out our current state today, are we supposed to just ignore that? When I said it to my brother, his basic answer was, well, I follow the leaders of the church. You know, his leaders of the church take precedence over the scripture, basically. But I think this scripture here is telling us the same thing. The scriptures have laid it out if we'll accept what the scriptures are telling us.
Yeah.
Yet when I read those verses, especially the one in 3 Nephi 16:10, was it, where it talks about the Gentiles when they reject? I always read the Book of Mormon to, you know, understanding that the Gentiles were always them, those other people, right? The people that would not reject the gospel.
Yeah.
I think it was an epiphany to me when I realized when he's speaking of the Gentiles, he's talking about the Latter-day Saints, the people of the Restoration. He's talking about us, those who had the Book of Mormon, have it, you know, accept it. It's not those other people, it's us. And then that opened up a whole different understanding where in other places where he talks about, you know, the Gentiles will pollute the church and reject the gospel and so on and so forth. It's like, oh my goodness, those prophecies are right there in front of our face and we didn't even know it.
Well, you certainly can understand why people who are beginning to be a little lost in following the LDS current Utah Church, because it is, you get a thought, you get a question, you go to somebody and you ask them and they kind of shut you down and say, well, you know, we're taught to believe this, that's it. You know, I've heard that in the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and many other places. No, that's not what we're being taught. Go to Jesus and ask the questions. Seek answers. And it's like nowhere else are we being told to do that. But the sealed book and this book, the Revelations, have given us a lot of information already. We just went through all of that about the children and the tiny eyes and the orphans. And if we were truly the Church of Jesus, wouldn't, speaking again of the Utah Church, wouldn't we be looking to help these this segment of society that the Lord doesn't want lost? Anyway, the keys, the strength, the restoration, it's in our hands, and we need to look at why do we accept this, and I'll be strong enough to go forward. Who would read verse 99?
I can read that one.
Thank you, Michael.
I'll just read it off the screen here. It is undoubtedly true that in the ranks of the Mormon fraternity, this great and important event that began to occur in your midst is still unknown and even disregarded by those who know only from hearing about it. However, the records of the activities of all the prophets of the past should serve as a map to show you the ways of my Father. And the scriptures, like a lamp to illuminate your path, must be the instrument to clarify your understanding through the fog of darkness, guiding their senses as to the methods used by him since the beginning of all time, and that the work that they are about to begin is the same as that which had been required of the prophets and emissaries of his message in the current period of all dispensations, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which event are we talking about? Is it clarified in the next verse? This great and important event that began to occur in your midst is still unknown and even disregarded by those who know only from hearing about it.
Okay. Michael, read the next one and see if it does answer that.
But it is obvious that I, the Lord, had already stipulated a plan, preordained from the beginning of the world, that could fulfill the need for continuation through the sealed record that I predetermined to be opened in two parts by my servant, Mauricio Arthur Berger, when finally these people of the fullness of times, as they had with the peoples of antiquity, were once again honoring me with their mouths, but having their hearts removed from me, the Lord, to their observations restricted to the precepts of men and no more than according to my scriptures. Okay, so this great event that it began to occur in their midst is referring to, I guess, the translation of this portion of the sealed book, correct?
I think that. I wouldn't have thought that till you read 100, though, so.
Yeah, and I've said before, I mean, there's no way that I would have even found out about this had I not been familiar with John Pratt and his articles on sacred calendars. You know, mm-hmm. when he published that article on the sealed book back in, I think it was 2019, May of 2019, a few months after it was released, I read that and I'm like, what's this? You know, I was completely taken back, like, you know, why is he talking about this other thing when he's focused on sacred calendars? But then he kind of tied it all into the sacred calendars, the history and the events surrounding it. But yeah, had I not even been familiar with John's articles, to this day, I never would have known about it. So it's, I guess that's a question that I've had is, you know, the Lord kind of chides the saints in Utah and elsewhere for not noticing this. But I mean, how could they have noticed it when I probably never would have noticed it had it not been for my association with John, right? So I don't know. I guess that's kind of I'm still trying to figure out figure that out.
Well, and I guess the question is, are we spreading the word? Since, like you say, you wouldn't have heard it other than through John, are we spreading the word correctly?
That's a perfect question.
A big part of it is like Mauricio's reached out to the church and offered them like to show and learn and share about the sealed book, but they've refused to do that. So I think a big part of it as well is a lack of wanting to share it.
Well, we've been asked to do like share on Facebook and YouTube and things like that just to get the word out. I'm not good at either one of those. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I know that whatever sharing I've done with my family has been on pretty much deaf ears.
Mm-hmm. Mine too. Does Balkia and Harm have a little weekly meeting that they do that they've started on their own over there?
Don't know.
Because sometimes they say things like, you know, we were meeting with so and so. Just a thought. Okay. Well, these two verses. We do have to remember that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I think that sometimes we have that in our mind. We think about it, and it makes total sense to us, but we don't understand it. So there's a contradiction there. We think it makes sense, but we don't understand it. So if the Lord is going back to the original foundation of the church, then that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have to go back to that and eliminate all of the traditions that came forth over the last many years. And someplace in the sealed book, it does say that the LDS of Utah has completed the mission that the Lord wanted them to do. Which was to spread the gospel because they had the money to go forward and make that happen. And now, you know, what he's saying is to ignore the tradition. So I think it's hard to separate what is a tradition and what is the original foundation of the church from Joseph Smith. Does anybody have trouble with that? Figuring out that separation.
Well, having not been raised in the LDS church and only becoming a Johnny come lately 7 years ago, I don't feel like I have any misunderstandings, but what I was taught is the same things it was the children and the recent generations, or even not recent, as it's gotten away from its pure doctrine. And these things are adopted and a person learns them from start, I can see where it would get them to a point when they're confronted with what they believe that they just want to roll up in that towel and say, I follow the leaders of the church, because they don't know and they haven't gone to the trouble of searching like so many of us that have a burning desire to know the truth, and we want the light and we want the knowledge. And when you're talking to them, I understand that thousand-yard stare, that deer in the headlights, that oh my son, you can smell that but don't inhale that, you know, the things that they tell you when you're trying to reach out to them, you know, they're shut down. And as John very eloquently described, conditioning, they were conditioned to think, hold these things as true, and they don't hold them up against the yardstick of truth. Here's what Joseph Smith got. Here's what they did. And this is why they did it. what are you doing today? Well, you don't have a patriarch. You're not, the sacrament is not what you were given. The priesthood is gone. I mean, all the things that have happened is like a tree dying in the field and it's turning brown and withering. And I think you put it more eloquently in previous revelations about talking about his church being covered in darkness and obscurity by the vines of precepts and traditions of men, or something to that effect. That painted a very clear picture to me. But again, I wasn't raised in it. And I wasn't brought up in primary singing the songs and having any real conditioning. So I've been blessed to be able to know what got me here. That was the Book of Mormon. That was the most powerful thing I ever had in my hand. And then to get the sealed book, flip a couple of pages into it, and all of a sudden understand, in the words of Moroni, what it meant to recognize this voices from the dust. So, yeah, I can empathize with them, because if they knew what we knew, this would be a lot bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be standing room only, because they've got good hearts and they think they're doing the right thing. And I love them, but man, you know, you talk to them and they just nod and pat you on the back, say something like, have some pie. Get it.
Don't drink any more Kool-Aid.
Yeah. You know, but it's not exactly like it was in the days of Joseph Smith. We've read the church history. This was the same kind of stuff he was dealing with, only they were more hostile.
Yeah.
Gene.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the clock here. It was a chance of us cutting over and having Steve talk about his dream.
Are we getting late? Okay. So let's just read 102. Wait, we didn't do 101. All right. Can we do 101 and 102? I think it'll kind of wrap it up a little bit. And then we'll go on. So,
Bill, do you want to read those?
I always ask Michael to read for me. I'll try. What is it, 101?
Yes.
There's no doubt that many will be surprised that this tradition's claim must come in two parts. The first, to give a second chance to the people of Zion to establish my church through a direct descendant of my servant Joseph Smith Jr., who cannot redeem my church without being willing to listen to the advice of my servant Mauricio Arthur Berger. But just as Aaron received instructions from Moses, so my servant Mauricio Arthur Berger will be like a Moses for the church, restructured by the direct descendant of Joseph Smith Jr. My servant Mauricio, having all the gifts that I, Jesus Christ, confide to the head of my church on earth, as described in D&C 107, 91 to 92 LDS, because it carries within itself the call of 144,000 anointed ones, appointed before the foundation of the world, to be ordained again by angels in order to lead all who wish to come to me, to worship me in a true church without walls, composed of living stones cut and decorated in order to adorn the Lord's spiritual temple in Jackson, Missouri County, D&C 77, 11, LDS. Wow.
You want to do 102, please, also?
The work of my apostles and prophets, which I will call in the hour of my vineyard, is not only to contemplate the work of churches that comes from the restoration, but to warn my people to join Zion based on the true status of my gospel, as revealed in the early days of the fullness of time by the hand of my servant Joseph Smith Jr.
Okay. We keep referring back to the composed of living stones, how we're going to be cut and fit so perfectly together. You know, Marie talks about that a lot, and that until we can get that part right with the spiritual growth, building the city of Zion, that we're not ready for the temple in Jackson, Missouri. So again, I think that in order to do that, we have to leave those traditions behind and think, what is it going forward?
And I believe that brings you right back to the first verse that we covered today about grafting ourselves back onto the original. Or at least that's exactly what it feels like.
We're starting to see the circle. We're starting to see the connections of everything from Joseph Smith to where we are now and what we're doing going forward. I hope that people are starting to see that circle, because without that vision, it's going to be hard to understand what the next few steps are with the sacred ground. The 144,000 always confuses me. Like, where do they come from and who are they? And people get hung up on that. So I don't know if anybody has anything they want to say about that part.
David Furman's group is discussing this next week. 144,000. Man, tough.
Well, and yeah. It makes reference to 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, right?
Right.
And I think in that book that John Pontius wrote, Visions of Glory, I think some of you may have read that. Spencer, the person who had all the visions and near-death experiences, he saw that it started out as 144,000, but the number grew beyond that as people were called into the work, et cetera, you know, and so on. But I think the 144,000 is the representative of 12 times 12,000. Essentially, those are sacred holy numbers in scripture.
Thanks for reminding me of that, Michael. That's a very interesting point. And if you look at Revelations, it says in there, the first fruits of the redeemed. I think some or language like that. That's what we're looking at. So these could be resurrected personages from earlier times.
Interesting.
I also want to add that this idea of grafting that harkens back to Jacob chapter 5 in the Book of Mormon, right? With where the parable of Zenos is given, I think, in its fullness. And I spent a lot of time trying to interpret that parable, and then only to find that the last chapter of the sealed book, Christ himself gives the interpretation of that. And then this group that Bill's talking about with David Fairman, they purport to have a translation of the Book of Zenos. I think it's like 12 or 13 chapters, and it contains this entire vision or parable of Zenos of the tame and the wild olive trees. I've started to make a comparison of the three, right? We get it in Jacob 5, we get it in Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14, and then I think it's chapter 11 or 12 in the Book of Zenos from this other group. I'm going down verse by verse to see the comparison to try and get a better understanding of that. But yeah, this idea of grafting, it's, you know, we're at the very end, we're taking all the branches that were out in the vineyard and bringing them back to the original trunk, the original tree. Very interesting.
Can we look at that as rebuilding the foundation?
Yeah, maybe.
So as to Bill's question, are we going to get a chance to let Steve talk about his
I just wanted to kind of get to the end of this. So we can go ahead and stop the recording and we can do